Team and choir, thank you so much for leading us in worship this morning. There's a lot of work that goes on in prepping for worship and stuff, so thank you guys so very much. That was great. I'm not going to rebuke Chris Reed, but I do have a correction and addition about the gifts that get used in off-campus small groups and Sunday morning, and that is food. So those of you who have the gift of cooking, thank you so much. So anyway, that is one of the great components of our groups and stuff is the gift of food. So we love to eat, and for some of us, it shows, right? So before we get started, I've got a important announcement. I think most of you all know it was in the newsletter and a lot of word went out. But last Sunday, Bearcat and Becca, they lost their little baby in childbirth, Adrus. So she did pass away. And so we really need to be praying, continually praying for them. Becca's parents have been here all week, and their life group, Bryson, Jess, Andrew, Dustin, Carolyn, Mari, Winston, Emmy. I mean, the names could just go on and on and on. I want to thank you guys so much for loving on them. And just, man, it's been so hard this week walking with them. So please be praying for Bearcat and Becca as she continues to heal up. And then obviously through all the grief, and they need our love and our support, not just for a couple of days, but for many, many, many months. So please keep them in your prayers. And if you have questions, you can talk with me or talk with our deacons. And they'll need our support over the many times. So please pray with them. And with that, we're going to pray. So let's pray. I want to invite everybody to please stand up and let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for this incredible day. Jesus, as we sang, we build our life upon you. We trust you, and we thank you, Father, for your eternal love. We thank you for this morning and that your mercies are new every morning and for the incredible freedom you have given us to come together like this without any fear of being arrested or thrown in prison. It is an unbelievable gift that we can join like this and worship with you, Heavenly Father, with the angels and with the archangels. And Lord Jesus, I pray that my words would be your words, that you would speak to us powerfully through your word. That as we read and look at your written word, we would encounter the living word, which is Jesus, our good shepherd, our great shepherd, our resurrected shepherd, our chief shepherd. And may we follow you. And we thank you that you make us lie down in green pastures. You lead us beside still waters. Even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are there with us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort us. You prepare a table for us in the presence of our enemies. We will dwell in your house, Father, and it's because of your great love, your mercy, and your grace. And we ask these things in your precious name, Jesus. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I'm going to read a couple things here. We're starting a new sermon series called Restoring the Soul. It is based out of Psalm 23. Well, let me read this. Jesus is the good shepherd, and we are the sheep of his flock. Far from flattering, we are depicted as fragile and fickle creatures who willfully disobey and wander away. We will look closely at Psalm 23 over the next several weeks or next couple of weeks through eyes of our compassionate and caring shepherd who offers to help and hold us as we walk through the dark valleys of fear, anxiety, loneliness, depression, and even death. Looking to Jesus through this psalm, we can once again discover his lavish love and lament all the ways that we, like sheep, have gone astray. Let's stand for the reading of God's words. We're going to get some exercise. Psalm 23. I'm going to read it in the New King James Version. It will be up on your screen. If you have a different version, that's A-OK. It says the same thing. This psalm is one of the most, if not the most well-known psalm in all of Scripture. It's one of them. This is God's word for God's people. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. Oh, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. You may be seated. Sheep. Jesus calls us sheep. Why is that? Because sheep are dumb. Now, it's amazing, though, as I've done a lot of studying this past week about sheep, sheep actually have a very high capacity for relationship. And if you want to waste a whole lot of time, go to YouTube and just look up funny videos about sheep. We can't show them up here because of copyright laws, but put sheep stuck in a tire, and it is amazing what you'll get. Sheep with a bucket on their head. I mean, it's amazing. But there are some pictures of sheep that I want to throw up here. And you can just say, guys in the back, just keep rolling it. That's for real. There are several. Oh, yeah, pink sheep. Might have been photocopied something, you know, we'll see. That is an actual sport, sheep riding. So that's a picture of sheep. Now, there are actually some fun facts, and Chris, I'm going to jump. I'm just going to go ahead and read this about fun facts about sheep. Listen to this. Sheep can recognize up to 50 other sheep faces and remember them for up to 2 years. Sheep can produce 2 to 30 pounds of wool a year, and 1 pound of wool can make up to 10 miles of yarn. Sheep can't right themselves if they're on their back. It is called casting. Why are you so downcast, my soul? Sheep have a complex social hierarchy within their flocks. Sheep can recognize human faces and voices. Sheep are able to experience and express emotions such as fear, anger, rage, despair, boredom, disgust, and happiness. Sheep make different vocalizations to communicate different emotions. Sheep display and recognize emotions by facial expressions. Sheep build friendships, stick up for one another in fights, and feel sadness when sheep in their social group are lost to slaughter or predator. Compared to many other animals, sheep are less likely to show obvious signs of pain or suffering. Sheep have excellent peripheral vision. Their large rectangular pupils will allow them to see almost 360 degrees without moving their heads. Amazing. I know that's quick. But sheep, even though they're depicted as one of the most dense animals on the farm, actually have an incredible social structure and hierarchy. But it is no accident that Jesus calls us sheep, because we truly are dumb, defenseless, and helpless. And without the meticulous, careful oversight and care of a good shepherd, sheep will be destroyed. Let's read Psalm 23. We've already read it, but let's talk about it for a few minutes. We're going to really focus on verse 1, 2, and 3. And there's a lot I want to cover, a lot of details. So I might be looking at some of my notes a little bit more than normal. Psalm 23 was written by King David. King David was the son of a shepherd. He himself was a shepherd before he became king. King David knew sheep very well. He grew up in a family that shepherds sheep. Sheep can live in very lush climates like England in Iowa and the Midwest, where there's tons of grass and vegetation. They can also live in very arid areas where there's hardly any water. 70% of a sheep's body is composed of water, and yet they don't have to drink literal water as long as they eat in the morning when there's dew on the grass. They can live for months with very little water. But in order for sheep to truly have nutrients, they need to be able to lie down and ruminate the food that they eat, because they eat and they swallow, but then they'll come back up. But in order to lie down, there are four qualities, characteristics, things they need in order to rest. And we're going to look at that. Real quick, here in verse 1, David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Just to start right here, what does David declare? The Lord is my shepherd. Who? The Lord. Now, we have all counsel of Scripture, but he's talking about Yahweh, Elohim, Jehovah's God himself, the Almighty, the Omnipotent, the Omniscient, the Omnipresent, the Lord. Now, it's been revealed to us, God is in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Jesus, the person and work of Jesus, he is our ultimate shepherd. My favorite, one of my favorite verses and descriptions of Jesus in Scripture is Hebrews 13, where it calls him the great shepherd. Not only is he the good shepherd, but he is the great shepherd. And if you remember a couple weeks ago when we talked about what does great mean and all those words about great, think about it. Jesus is the great shepherd. There are several verses that I want to read. I'm just going to read them to you, starting in Isaiah 40:11. And how does Scripture describe God as shepherd? Because shepherd is one of the biggest, most continuous metaphors that God uses for himself from Genesis to Revelation about him being our shepherd. Listen, Isaiah 40:11. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. For thus says the Lord, this is in Ezekiel, for thus says the Lord God, indeed, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. John 10:11, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Meditate on this, y'all. When we read that very first verse, the Lord is my shepherd, it's so easy. Yeah, the Lord's my shepherd. I mean, we hear that psalm all the time. But think about what these verses are saying and how they describe our God. 1 Peter 2:25, Peter declares, for you are like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. In Revelation, and we looked at this verse just briefly a couple weeks ago, they shall neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. Now, this is what I find so ironic about our King Jesus. For the Lamb, who's Jesus himself, who is in the midst of the throne, will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Remember what we said last week or 2 weeks ago? Because Jesus himself lived as one of us, he knows what it's like to be called a sheep. In fact, one of his titles is he is the Lamb, and he's also the shepherd. So could we call Jesus dumb? I mean, sheep are dumb. It's a joke, y'all. Hebrews 13:20. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Jesus is our great shepherd. He's our resurrected shepherd. What do all these verses say very quickly? This is what they say. God, as our shepherd, he feeds our flock. He gathers the lambs in his arms. He carries the lambs, the little ones, close to his bosom, like a mother with a newborn child or a father with his little son, holding them tightly. That's how Jesus, our great shepherd, carries and holds us, especially when we're broken, when we're heavy burdened and laden. Jesus will pick us up. He will search for us. He gently leads the flock. God is our great shepherd. He searches for his sheep. He seeks out and he rescues his sheep that are scattered. If you'll turn with me to John chapter 10 very quickly. John chapter 10, it's an incredible description of how Jesus talks about us, or him as the shepherd and us as sheep. Look at what Jesus says in John chapter 10, starting in verse 10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's the evil one. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he is who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, he sees the wolf coming, and he leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and my own know me by my name. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up. This command I have received from my Father. Do you see how much Jesus, as the good shepherd, how he lays down his life for his sheep? How much love is that? I've been reading a small study book on Psalm 23, written by a shepherd who owned sheep for decades. And he would talk about how he in one night lost dozens of sheep because of one dog. And he has friends that would lost over 200 sheep in one night because they did not watch the flock. And a cougar came into the flock and wiped out 297. And yet Jesus says, when the wolves come and when they come to attack, he will lay down his life for his sheep. So think about that. I want to encourage you, meditate on John 10 this week about Jesus as our great shepherd. The Bible says that Jesus is our good and great shepherd, the resurrected shepherd, the chief shepherd. As we go back to Psalm 23, David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." That doesn't mean he doesn't have desires or longings or cravings, or it doesn't mean he has a perfect life without any problems or trials or tribulations. I was talking with someone this morning, and we were talking about the fact that life is not fair. Life is brutal, and life is hard, and God does not promise when we put our faith in Jesus that he surrounds us and protects us in bubble wrap. In fact, life gets so much harder when we give our lives to Christ. And we will suffer on this earth. But we can trust to know that we have a good Father and we have an incredible shepherd who's the great shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. David goes on and declares this thing. He says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures and he leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul." Now this is very important because in order for sheep to lie down, they need four things. They need four things in order to have peace to lie down. Sheep, in order to lie down in green pastures, and it speaks to me that says, he, the great shepherd, makes us lie down. He makes us lie down, but in order for sheep to truly lie down, they need to be free from fear, free from friction within the flock, free from pests, and they need to be well fed. In order for sheep to truly lie down, they need to be free from fear. Fear of what? Attacks. Fear of storms. They need to be free from friction within the flock. How many of us do not have peace inside because there's relational conflict with our spouse, with our children, with our parents, with coworkers, or even other brothers and sisters in our lives, or even from the past? It's the same with sheep. They need to be free from pests, which are the simple bugs, mites, ticks. A good shepherd watches over his sheep carefully, cleans them, shears the wool off of them, making sure in the summertime that their face is not tormented by all the bugs and gnats of summertime. How many little things consume us, things that we worry about that literally are so stupid and dumb? Time. Schedule, what we said, what we didn't say, what we look like. Did we even spit when I was talking with somebody? I think in my own life, the little dumb things that I worry about, I got a list. I was going to put it up, but like, I won't. But I've got a list. Let me read some of the things because I looked this up. What do humans worry about? Silly things that we worry about. Listen to this. How we look today. If someone heard you pass gas. That $1 coupon you can't find. That zit on your face. Looking dumb while you dance. Asking a dumb question. That someone noticed the tiny stain on your shirt or on your pants or on your dress. How your hair looks. People judging for what you eat or people judging you for what you don't eat. The fact that you took that second cookie. You're 2 minutes late to work. You forgot someone's name and you had to ask for the 10th time what their name is. The list goes on and on and on. Sheep cannot rest and lie down until they're free from pests. What are those small little things that you consume yourself with worry that you can't even control and it really doesn't matter? Finally, well-fed. In order to truly be well-fed, we need to consume the written word to encounter the living word. But one of our greatest temptations as North Americans is time. Don't have time. Don't have time. Don't have time. And we've talked about it. The average teenager spends almost 7 hours on their smartphone. The average adult spends over 5. And we say we don't have time. When we need to sit and soak and rest. He makes us lie down in green pastures. The 4 things we need, because we truly are sheep, is we need to be free from fear, free from friction in our relationships, free from pests, all those petty fears and anxieties that consume us. And we need to be well fed. In order to be well fed, we need to be free from the bitterness and resentments, the pride and arrogance and unbelief that can so haunt us if we're not careful. And we need to allow the Holy Spirit to till the ground of our hearts and to get rid of the roots and the rocks of unbelief and anger and bitterness that can consume us and allow His healing oil. And we'll talk about this next week and the following week. But in order to be truly restored, to be comforted, I want to end with these questions right here. What fears that you have in your life are not allowing you to lie down and rest? What fears and anxieties and worries that you have in your life that don't allow you to lie down and rest? The second question is this. What relational conflicts do you have in your life that are causing strife? And it doesn't have to be a current relationship. It could be something that someone did to you 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 50 years ago. And the memory of that person, the words they said, the horrible, wretched things that they did still haunt you and bring pain, anger, bitterness. You might be completely and utterly justified to be angry and to desire justice for the sins that they caused and they've done to you. But if we do not forgive and release and surrender it to Jesus, that anger quickly turns into bitterness and hate, bitter root judgments. And we need to surrender it to the Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep. The third one, the pests in your life. What are the daily routines of life that you have not surrendered to Jesus that just continually haunt you? And it could just be your schedule. I'm a people pleaser, and because I'm a people pleaser, I have a hard time saying no, and I want to please everybody. And that is a continual pest in my face and in my soul to not offend. And it can weigh me down if I'm not careful. What are the daily anxieties of your life that you need to surrender to the Lord Jesus? The fourth one is this. To be well fed, we need to be free of unbelief and bitterness of soul. What unbelief is in your heart about God's word? because of life and the hardness of life and the difficult things that happen to us, we can so quickly read Scripture and be like, hasn't happened for me. And unbelief begins to creep in, which then creates a hard, hard heart. Do you have any unbelief in your life that you need to surrender to Jesus? My question for all of us today, and I want to invite everybody to stand. We're going to spend 120 seconds just in silence. But what would change for you if you mentally, emotionally, maybe even physically, allowed the great shepherd, Jesus himself, as our good shepherd, to be present in your daily life to deal with the unbelief, the bitterness, the fears, the anxieties, and the relational strife that you have? What would change in your life if you surrendered it all to Jesus as your good and great shepherd and allowed him to lead you in it and through it so that you could lie down in green pastures and allow Holy Spirit to minister to you? Let's just listen for 120 seconds. Jesus, I praise you so much for silence. And Lord Jesus, teach us. Make us lie down in the green pastures that you so long to feed us on. And may we surrender our fears and our anxieties, the relationships that cause great strife to us, may we surrender it all to you. And may we feed on your written word that is living and active and true, allowing you, Holy Spirit, to minister to us, to refresh our souls, to drink the water that you so promise, that we would surrender all things and allow you, Jesus, to be who you truly are, the good and great shepherd. We thank you and praise you and ask these things in your name. Amen.